Well, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Book of Matthew, chapter 24. The next few weeks, hopefully, Lord willing, we are going to be dealing specifically with some false prophets. I believe it's necessary to really hit these things. Tonight, we're going to really dive into a lot of scripture. To show us the importance of these things. And hopefully next week we'll be able to expose more of what's being taught out in churches that proclaim to have the gospel. I've been doing some pretty heavy research on this, and you'll be surprised what's taking place. You'll be surprised in what preachers or pastors, how they really view God and how they view Jesus. It will astound you. And hopefully we can open those things up to you a little bit more. I've dealt with things like this in the past, but never really to this extent. And so I'm looking forward to that opportunity to do this. So let's begin reading in chapter 24. We're going to read verse number 5 down to verse number 11 to set the scene for us tonight. And be prepared to have your hands ready to go, so that we can read scriptures that go along with this. Verse number 5, it says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many." Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we're able to be here tonight. God, I pray that you just guide me through your word. I pray, Lord, that we would just allow the scriptures to speak to our hearts on this matter. Lord, help us. As the day and age that we live in, it's still very true, very real, and very powerful. So God, I pray that you would help us to be ones that can recognize a false prophet or false teacher. Perhaps they can come into our church. God, I pray that you just help us to use the spiritual discernment that you give us to learn how to really, Lord, to know how they are. So we ask you just work and bless tonight. We ask it in your name. Amen. False prophets. Tonight really is going to be the stage that's going to be set for us to be aware of false prophets or false teachers, if you whatever term that you want to use. Some people don't realize this, and I was one of them, but there are over 183 verses in the Bible that deal with this teaching. 183 verses. That ought to astound you. It shows you how real it was, not only back in the day of the New Testament, because that's where we normally focus, but in the Old Testament as well. But this evening, we were going to begin to look at the Old Testament to see what the Old Testament has to say about them as well. So in order for us to understand the importance of this, we're going to visit a lot of scripture, as I said a while ago. But one thing that you must understand why I have come to this is because many of you folks, you've heard me say on many different occasions from up here how I would used to watch these programs, if I can call them programs, on the television and begin to see their teachings that they're giving to their people. And at times I would sit there and I would laugh while I'm watching them because I would see what was being what was taking place during this process. I've always been captivated why they were getting the audience that they're getting. But as I begin to look back on this, as I begin to reflect, I begin to see how they would manipulate people. They would also not only manipulate them, but they would begin to pray upon them. And I'm not talking about praying upon them. I'm talking about praying upon them as if they are a predator. So you would see them do these things. I would also see this take place during the lesson that is given, and that is the gospel message would not be preached. And that is scary when you walk into church and the gospel message is not preached. And so what would take place during these things, a majority of the times, and you guys know this, they would give you a feel-good sermon. It's more or less of an encouragement as you walk into church. And I understand we love to be encouraged. We love to encourage one another. We like to edify each other. But these are sermons that were just encouraging. Hey, you want your better life now? You can have it. That's what I'm getting at in this. And so they would never give a salvation message. They would not preach on the blood of Jesus Christ. They would not preach on the crucifixion. They would not preach how he raised himself from the dead. They would never hit any of these topics. And this concerns me as I begin to reflect on this. Because as I begin to reflect upon this, people are sitting in those services, perhaps lost as could be, and still on their way to hell. And that's scary. Now, I'm not taking away from the fact that there probably are saved people there. I'm not taking away from that at all. But with that being said, there are people that are duped into that, and they're not getting the sound doctrine, and they're going to hell. And that's sad as you begin to think about those things. So salvation messages are important. Talking about the blood of Jesus Christ is important. Which is why we here at the church, we believe in the KJV version, because these other versions that they have, they take out the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's scary when you begin to think about those things. You have to have the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. Without that, where would we be? And some don't understand the importance of that. And so I become very concerned about these folks that give into those types of things. The sad thing about that is, this is just a little side note, I also know of many conservative people that have been in good independent Baptist churches or good Bible-believing churches that would actually walk away from good sound doctrine teaching, and they would walk into these types of churches. And their very lives will begin to change. No more guilt. No more standards, no more values in their life, because they have given in, because they love the feel-good sermon. They love the watered-down version of the gospel. And the reason why that is because they no longer have to justify their sins, because now they're accepted. And that's scary when you begin to think about those things. And I'm thankful that God's given me conviction. I'm thankful that God has given me caution. Conscious, thank you. Some of these words just slip me. And I'm cautious about that. Those have gone by the wayside. And in the process of that, They have kids that are born into this, and now they're taking their kids, they're dragging them in here, and they're falling by the wayside. So why did I take a little side note of that? For this reason, be thankful for the church that you're in. Be thankful for the church that you're in that preaches a sound doctrine message. Be thankful for those things. So as they begin to do these things, as they would begin to prey upon them, they would also gain from them financially. They would have a pocket that's pretty thick. Most of these will gain from this financially with millions, and I mean millions of dollars. And I gave you something about a year ago as we went through this. The millions that they have in their pocket. And they're gaining from them financially, leaving them in the poorhouse. That's what's taking place. And with that being said, as I said earlier, and many of them on their way to hell. False prophets are real. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 16. And you might be wondering, why am I going here in this chapter here? And hopefully these verses will explain this. Romans chapter 16 tonight. False prophets are real. And let me ask you a question. What makes a false prophet a false prophet? One who tells lies. One who tells lies. Or one that might tell a white lie. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when people lie to me. I really don't. Because I lose that trust factor. And so that's what a false prophet is one who lies to you. And lies right to your face. Not behind your back, but right to your face. So they are real. And here's what we need to do when it comes to dealing with false prophets. Chapter 16, we'll read verses number 17 through verse number 18. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Boy, that sums that up right there when you begin to think about that. So what are we to do when we are faced with false prophets? Mark them and avoid them. That's what we are to do according to God's word. We are to be aware of them. Turn back to your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. So not only to mark them and avoid them, but we're to be aware of them. Verse number 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing." In other words, they're going to come in, they're going to look like you, they're going to act like you. They might even smell like you, if that's what you want. But they're going to come in and they're going to look the part. But deep down inside, here's what they really are. They are ravening wolves. Beware of them. You know, one thing that I've come to find out about wolves, because I've done a little bit of study upon them. And I don't know about you, but I like wolves. They're pretty animals. Now, would I want to be caught in a pack of wolves? No, I wouldn't. For this reason, I'll give you this reason. Wolves are nothing to mess with. Because when they hunt in a group or when they hunt in a pack, here's what they do. They circle their prey. And as they circle their prey, they begin to taunt them. They begin to tease them. And then they get them into a vulnerable state. And then as that happens, the wolves will begin to attack their prey. And as they attack their prey, they don't leave them there to live. They don't leave them there to wallow in their pain. They leave them there dead. And a pack of wolves can take down some pretty monstrous animals in our world. They've been known to take down bears. I don't want to mess with a bear. I've seen them at the zoo. That's good enough for me. I don't want to see them out in the wild. Some have seen those things out in the wild. Jeff was rehearsing a story here a few weeks ago as he went to Colorado a few years ago. And as they're looking outside their cabin, they see a bear come upon their campground. I'm glad Jeff went and saw that. I wouldn't want to have nothing to do with that. You know what I'd be praying for if I saw a bear? God, please send the wolves. Destroy this bear. But that's what wolves do. They hunt in a circle for this reason. They want to attack you. They want to bring you down. By the way, why am I saying this? Because false prophets have an agenda. And that agenda is to attack you, to take you away from your God. To believe their lies, to believe their perversions, so that you have no relationship with God. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 20. Now, again, this is going back to the Old Testament. I got several verses that we can probably go to tonight, but I've kept this down to so that you'll get out of here on time. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, here's what it says. It is because there is no light in them. There is no light in them. They're false. Which is why you'll find in 1 John chapter 4, go ahead and turn there. We're going to be doing a lot of flipping back and forth. But in 1 John chapter 4, that's close to the end of the New Testament, just to give you a little bit of help. In verse number 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Meaning they're everywhere. Anywhere you'll probably look, you'll find a false prophet, or you'll find a false teacher. Now, I'm gonna pause here real quick. I'm gonna do a pastor's timeout. Many people today think that there's just false prophets and there's false teachers. But you know, there's another form out there that we're not really aware of. And I want you to think about this. And that is through music. And I'm not talking about our hymnals. I'm talking about contemporary Christian music. They will deceive you to get them to like their song. And I'm not going to take away from their songs, because are there good words in there? Yeah, there are good words in there. But their lives do not add up to the song that they're singing. And so they will try to get you into their little group with their songs. And when that happens, your guard will go down. Years ago, I read a book called Why I Left Contemporary Christian Music. It was about a guy who was heavily involved in this, one of the original leaders. I can't remember his name. But through this book, he began to talk about the deception, the lies, and the sexual things that would take place inside the church. But he was fortunate enough that he opened his eyes and saw the things that were taking place. See, they're another form of a false doctor or a false prophet and a false teacher. So I'm telling you this right now. Be careful on who you allow into your life. We are to guard our hearts. And I'm not here to tell you, you can't listen to this, you can't listen to this. I cannot pass my conviction upon you. My convictions are different than your convictions. And your convictions are different than mine. I understand those things. But there are many false prophets that have gone out into this world. So be careful. Use some spiritual discernment. I'm going to give you one right now. There's a group out there called Sidewalk Prophets. Anybody ever heard of them? They got a song out there. I can't even remember what it is, to be honest with you. But about 4 years ago, I saw something come across the TV. It was the Dove Awards. And they just happened to be on there. And what I saw was something that just astounded me. I thought I was watching MTV. Men who claim to love God are standing up on the piano, rocking out like you wouldn't believe. I thought I was in the midst of a MTV concert. I'm thinking to myself, and they say they love God? And that scares me. So be careful about those things. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 13. And I'm just touching the hem of this. In Ezekiel chapter number 13, verse number 9, we even see Ezekiel taking a stand against false prophets. Verse number 9, it says, "And my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. So when it comes to false prophets, false teachers, take a stand against them. Don't allow them into the assembly of God. It goes back to Romans 16, verse 17, 18. Mark them and avoid them. Turn your Bibles again to 2 Peter. Saying, Brother Chad, you're going back and forth, Old Testament, New Testament. Yeah, I just want to make sure you're awake. The book of 2 Peter, chapter number 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. And here is what happens when false teachers come into the assembly. Let's read. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destructions. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. They bring in damnable heresies. And as they bring that in, guess what they're doing? They're denying the Lord. You're going to see some things next week as I'm going to bring out words of men that actually will say some things that will floor you. Don't bring them into the assembly. One thing that I've learned, false teachers, false prophets have something in common, and here's what they have in common. They speak lies, and they are not commanded by God to even speak. Go ahead and turn your Bibles. I'll back this up with Scripture. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 14. Jeremiah 14, verse 14, it says, Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. See what they have in common? They're liars. You know what I mentioned a while ago? They lie to you. Who likes to be lied to? I don't. I can't stand it. So then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them. Neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. That's what they have in common. They speak lies. If we follow after false prophets, I'm going to have a question for you at the end of this verse. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. When we're done tonight, you're going to realize that you know where every book of the Bible is. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13. And let's read verse number 1 through 3. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder came come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So the question is, if you're to follow after false prophets tonight, are you one who truly loves God? Is your heart stayed on Him? Or are you easily persuaded to go the other direction? Turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah again, chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. And we'll read verse number 17. They say, still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. What false prophets are trying to do, they're trying to lure you away from God, taking you away from the foundation that has been built in your life. In that same chapter, we'll read verse number 16. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So the best way to describe this verse is this. We are to use spiritual discernment when it comes to dealing with them. Let me ask you a question. How are we to use spiritual discernment? It's right here, folks. It's right here. This is how we know the truth. This is how we know when there's false prophets, or this is how we know when there's false teachers among us. They try to convince you to believe in a lie. Turn over to 28 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 28, verse number 16. Verse number 15, my bad. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Their main job is to convince you to believe in a lie. And again, in Romans 16, verse number 18, they don't even serve our Lord. Turn your Bibles to the book of Jude. Aren't you glad we have the Word of God to back us up? Even in Jude, he makes a plea to not give in to false teachings. Let's read verses 3 through 4. It says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He's making a plea. Verse number 4, he follows up. He says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lavishness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jude begins to make a plea for them as well. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 3 through 4. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Are we in the age when men and women will no longer hear or endure sound doctrine? I believe we're there. And I believe we've been there for a long time. It's just now being more exposed to us, more than it ever has been before. Because we have at our availability the TV, the internet, our news programs, they're available to us 24/7. And so now we're becoming more aware of these things. And as we become more aware of these things, again, let me give you some good piece of advice. Guard your heart. Well, why do I have to guard my heart? For this reason, they want you. They want you. They want you to walk away from God. They want you to reject the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. And we need to use spiritual discernment. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. I'm winding down here. I feel like I'm just getting started. The book of Acts, chapter number 20. And we're going to read a few more verses here. I'm going to give you a question before I read this. Why do preachers warn us of false prophets? Let's read verse 28 down through verse number 30. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Why do preachers warn us of false prophets? For this reason. Because they care for your soul. They care for your well-being. They care for your spiritual life. What am I saying? I'm saying they love you. They care for you. They're on their hands and knees on countless hours praying for your soul, for God to watch over you, to protect you. They do those things. Why am I saying that? Because false prophets could care less for you. They care less for you spiritually. They're not in it for you. They're in it for themselves. And this is just a glimpse of why we are to be aware of false prophets. And hopefully next week we can see and dive into a little bit more on what they're actually teaching and what they actually believe themselves. You've heard pastors say this a few weeks ago. You heard me say this a few months ago. But I'm going to say this again. Hillsong and Elevation are two of the major contemporary Christian things that are going on today. And many of these false prophets and teachers are a big part of that. So hopefully next week we can go into it a little bit more. And Lord willing, God will give me the wisdom and the discernment to figure these things out. Let's have a word of prayer tonight and we could be dismissed. And make sure our guest feels welcome before he leaves. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we are able to be here tonight. God, I know that really we just went through Scripture tonight. And honestly, that's the most important thing that we can ever do. Because that gives us a clear direction on where we're to go. That gives us the clear answer on everything. And so, God, tonight, as the stage has been set, help us to prepare our hearts through out this week and be ready to come back in to hear what you have for us this Sunday and next Wednesday night. We thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen.